gamers, and welcome to a very festive edition of Game Warp. As tonight the snow is twinkling, the chestnuts are roasting, and somewhere just in the distance, if you hit listen close enough, you might hear the squeal of the child who learns just why you don't eat yellow snow. I'm your host as always, Edward Jones, and joining me of course is my one and only co-host, Miss Kim Lowe.
Hello.
Tonight we are going to be taking you through our guide to surviving the holiday season as we go through the Christmas Day problems of, you know, what games you use to pass the certain key moments that make up such an important day. Obviously, your mind is no doubt probably already pre-focused on food comas, but just to make sure we cover your gaming side, we're going to give our suggestions for helping you get through the festive season. So, Kim, I think first of all, I think we're probably best off kicking it off with the question, as always, is what is the game that you most want for Christmas?
Most want for Christmas. I mean, there's so many. I mean, last year was, there were quite a few games. I mean, it was a kind of underwhelming year, but there was quite a few games that, you know, I would have wanted. But I think top of the list definitely would be Life is Strange True Colors.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I mean, I went through a few. I mean, there was also the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles. I was thinking about that also, and that was a really, really close contender because I'm a big fan of Ace Attorney, but I am like 2-3 games behind, so I probably should play those first before I get that. How about you?
How many games is there now?
There's a good few. I mean, there's like 4 or 5. There was originally 4. They stopped at 4 for the DS. And then the 3DS had, I think, 3 more. Two of them are ported right now to Android and to Android, basically, to Play Store and, you know, mobile. And one of them isn't.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically the one that links those games together is not ported.
Yeah.
Because I think it was some type of crossover, so it wasn't ported. So, I mean, if you really looked, I guess you could be able to find it if you could get your hands on a cheap 3DS or something, you know?
It has been pondered, because, I mean, I'm only about 9 games behind you, so might be a very good idea to start that with the festive season. Get down to, especially with lockdown pending, it'd be good to have a project there as well. So
yeah, for sure. So So what about you? What games do you anticipate?
For myself, it's Jurassic World Evolution 2. I was such a huge fan of Jurassic World Evolution, and the second one, from the what we've done a little bit of playtesting of, really just sort of adds to what the original game was by adding both aquatic creatures and flying dinosaurs, which was probably one of the most requested things of the original game. This time it's set after the events of Fallen Kingdom, so it's between Fallen Kingdom and the new film that is coming out in the new year, as you basically go around America setting up different sites to sort of wrangle the various dinosaurs that are out roaming the Canadian countryside, we are told. So it's just that it's sort of like, oh, we can put them in Canada, and yet you spend a lot of time like going around the national parks of America, so which makes no sense. But certainly it's more, in one way it's more the same, but then the second other way of looking at it is that it's just sort of building on what we had by adding a host of really new and exciting features. And if you play it on the PC, then you can take advantage of mods, which means you can have a Megalodon in your park. Because somebody's already modded one of those, as I saw today, so.
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you call these games? Management games? Is that it?
They could management sims, management sims, sandbox games. It seems to change from week to week what we're calling them, but yeah.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, these games, I mean, we've looked at a few of them, and I think that, you know, these type of games are really nice, and I know you're a big fan of them, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't have as much, like, long-term investment to really dig deep into these games. But I, you know, I really do like that whole Jurassic World thing, and the fact that they're integrating the underwater creatures is really, really great, because I honestly think, like, you know, dinosaurs in general are really, really cool, but then some of the best moments of Jurassic Park and Jurassic World has to do with, like, I don't know, the flying ones and the...
yeah, exactly.
So.
So, yeah, you can see Blue Avery's and, as I said, have and to set up your park so you wish. It's kind of cool. And you also have the ability to just let dinosaurs out, because what good's a city builder without the chaos mode? Like, I don't know when you played the original SimCities. You, like, get to a point where you just got bored and then just, like, hit every natural disaster going, like, earthquake, dinosaur, volcano, and just, like, leveled the whole thing. Or was that just me?
I don't know. I mean, honestly speaking, I mean, my SimCities never lasted really long. And I think the best Sim I've ever had was Sim Tower. And
okay.
The only reason why I failed was because I didn't please the VIP, and apparently that was, like, a black hole in the game. So basically, if you didn't please the VIP, it would take him a lot of time before he'd come back, if he ever came back. So basically, if you can't level up to level, like, 5-star for your tower, you can't beat the game. So you either have to tough it out, try to hope the guy comes back, or just restart the game. So that was what happened to me.
Cool. Well, yeah, definitely True Colors is another one for my list as well. Because, like yourself, I really love all those games that we've seen of the Life is Strange series. And its various sort of spin-offs have all been really good. Some better than others. I think the original game is still sort of head and shoulders, even though the last one we did, Tell Me Why, was also very good as well. Yeah. So.
I mean, it was really close, because at the same time, I think that Don't Nod is such a, you know, one of our favorite studios to cover, that I did want to work on some of their other projects as well, some of their other releases. The one of the Mind Palace, I forgot what it's called. I think it's Twin Mirrors or something like that. And okay, I thought that one was, that, you know, that was a, I didn't think about it until now, but I mean, that would have been a really, really close contender too, because I've heard really, really good things about that game. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, hopefully we get a sale in January and we can pick them up cheap. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so you've obviously, hopefully, Krampus or Cinderclaws or whoever your favorite holiday deity is, has brought you what you wanted. But while you're obviously waiting for, you know, your dinner to be served, you know, to providing this being like the ideal world where you got someone else cooking for you, and unlike our real lives where we have to do the cooking ourselves, what's the game that you're sort of most using to fill in that time between, you know, wondering whether you can be inhaling selection boxes at 3 a.m. and waiting for your actual main event to happen?
Dinner, right? Dinner is the main event.
It is the main event. It's sort of like, but there's the thing, you wake up and it's sort of like, is it too early to start drinking as you're pouring Baileys on your cornflakes? It's there's something about Christmas Day and morning drinking that just goes so hand in hand.
Bring on those mimosas, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if there was a game that I would pick for, like, just, like, a distraction before I headed into my food coma.
Yeah.
It would definitely be Spiritfarer.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I mean, I thought about it a little bit, because I was like, in Spiritfarer, you would actually have to make food. And that might not be too good when you're thinking about dinner and getting hungrier and hungrier. But the game is just, you know, Spiritfarer is a game that's just so relaxing. And it's one of those games that normally I'm not big on the open world and the whole kind of like sim type of game. But this is a cozy sim. So it's very laid back, very relaxing. There's like no danger. Like nothing's going to blow up. You know, the only thing that happens is like the residents on your boat will, on your ship will complain to you that they're unhappy, and then you can give them a hug, you know? This is, like, the world that's so amazing. You can feed them things, and then, you know, your biggest problem is feeding them things that, you know, fit with their dietary regime. So, I don't know. I really think Spiritfarer is such a great game, especially since, you know, now I'm at the point of the game where I'm just grinding to finish. And, you know, of course, there's, like, new updates that I have to get through as well. But it's basically, you know, a grind to the finish line, and that's really good to kill time as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Spiritfarer is such a gentle sort of game, isn't it? And the idea that you've got to meet all your demands. I love the customization that you can put on the ship and how everything just basically slots into places. There's none of this sort of like, oh, you can't build here because you put some other thing here. Everything just sort of slots on to something else, so it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, nothing an upward ladder can't solve, you know?
No, exactly. You just have these insanely tall ladders. And nobody ever questions why. And while you generally keep yourself busy with, like, you know, busy work, like growing things or collecting thunderbolts and things. So, but no, there's something very charming about that game for sure.
For sure. I mean, what would you use to distract yourself?
For myself, I once had a disappointing Christmas, should we say, and I went and played Final Fantasy VII in my room for 4 hours. So yeah, Final Fantasy VII is probably one of my go-to games. It's very easy to lose yourself in that game, as it's probably one of the most immersive stories of the Final Fantasy games, without obviously going like too far back. And I think for a lot of people, it was like the entry point into the series. But there's just something about that game I could just like, and the story especially, and even just like the mini, when you get like further into the game and you get into like the mini games like the Chocobo races and things, that you can just really sort of sink some time into that game and just sort of like really lose yourself. I mean, the other option I would go for would be like to go on like one of my wandering sims to something like Fallout 4 or Death Stranding, where it's just basically just pick a direction and just walk and see what we find. Normally it's nothing but trouble, but it's fun to sometimes just to head out in a direction and see what you find. So so yeah, those would be those would be my choices. But I think if I had to choose one, then I think I always go back to Final Fantasy VII. There's something about that game where it's just you know, it's going to keep you busy enough till you needed to do something. So
yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. I think Final Fantasy is really great, whether you choose the old version or the remake version. I think that, you know, obviously the remake version has a lot more cinematic moments, but
I've yet to play the remake one. I think what's put me off at the moment is the fact that it's not the whole game. It's just like quarter of the game or something. It's,
yeah, and it's kind of a, I'm kind of a little bit sour over the whole thing because you know, it was kind of like a money grab to put the part two solely for PS5, so now I'm kind of thinking that I don't want to give PlayStation the money, and I'm just gonna go and get it on like on the PC version instead. But then, you know, you still have the problem of whether your PC is able to handle it. So
true. It's funny, really, that we grumble about this, but you think back to Halo 3. The first two Halo games were on the original Xbox, but you had to buy a 360 to play Halo 3, and it ended on a cliffhanger in Halo 2. So this isn't the first time this has happened, where they will hook you in to get you to buy a new console, so... Though I'm not saying I'm in a real rush to buy a PS5 at the moment. I don't know about yourself, but...
No, and plus, like, I mean, I don't know. Europe apparently is a lot easier to get it, but Canada is really, really hard to get it right now.
Ugh, that's the worst. Okay, so now you obviously... You've got your dinner out of the way. And, of course, the family around, and they all need entertaining... And let's face it, your options are going to be to, like, to play some board game, which no doubt will cause chaos and mass rifts in your family. Or you can dig out something in your games collection. But what game do you play with the family?
For me, I mean, I usually spend a lot of, like, Christmases or, like, big parties over the holidays. Like, well, big parties. Now you don't get any big parties, but... Now we're virtual parties. We actually play Jackbox Party Pack. Yeah, nice. So that's something we've been doing for the past 2 years. Since, you know, family only is Christmas Eve, and then we kind of Christmas Day is with friends type of thing, and we've been doing it for 2-3 years. We're virtually, and basically we hang out and then we play Jackbox Party Pack. And I mean, basically we have a few that we really like. Last year we had really a lot of fun with Madverse City, where we all sat around making up bad raps. Yeah, and then you know, you have, like, Fibbage and all kinds of, like, Drawful and these really funky things to show off all your crappy skills and try to send everybody make up weird names or stuff and whatnot. And it's so fun because it's just so creative, the whole idea of it. And because Jackbox has expanded so much that there's so many different games to choose from that basically, you know, we just kind of, like, try out different games every year and kind of see,
Yeah. Oh,
that game we like more and we have a fun time, then we'll play one or two more rounds and then we'll switch it up and play something else. And there's just so many choices.
Cool. For myself, it's Mario Kart 8 on the Switch. I think with Mario Kart, and especially with Mario Kart 8, they've just now got it down to such an art form. There's like a host of really colorful characters. It's super easy to pick up and play, and the general mechanics of the game with its rubber banding, so that even if you're in front, you're never going to get too far ahead from the person who's like right at the back. So it keeps everyone involved rather than just like having to just like poodle along where you see nothing in front. It's just that constant competition because the game adjusts itself. And if you're at the back, you get really awesome power-ups. You get things like the blue tortoiseshell and Bullet Bill. And if you're at the front, you get just like coins and green turtle shells because you don't really need anything. And you're there just basically be a target for everyone else. So yeah, definitely Mario Kart is the one. I pulled it out last Christmas. I taught my mother-in-law how to play it, and I think it's one that's generally pretty popular. It's got that sort of pick up and play to it. Although when I post this to my co-host over the Asian Super Phone Club, Stephen, he had to go and give the nerdy answer and say that Double Dash on the GameCube would have been the one he went with. So but yeah, we had some other good ideas when we put it out to the community. Other games to play with your family. Derry Brook over at Blueprint Review says Wii Sports. A game I only ever played the archery on and the bowling. I never really cared for any other sports on there.
Yeah, I did tennis in that one. That was really fun. And it was really funny because I actually played it when it first was released, and that was like. And I remembered I was in Hong Kong after some trip and I had made some friends. And it was just... And Hong Kong apartments are so tiny. So you had like two people right in front of the TV. And then you had two people standing like right behind the sofa. It was just like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. He also said that he would play Tony Hawk's as his game while waiting for Christmas dinner. Which again is another great game. Although I don't know if it's got the sort of like sit down and play for hours sort of appeal to it, but it's only the new remaster of the first two Tony Hawk games as well worth picking up, especially as you can play as the skaters as their old ass selves now. Matt Stewart over at Simplistic Reviews says Overcooked 2.
Oh yeah,
I know you're a fan, Ken.
Oh, that was a contender of mine for sure. I had it in like second place because Overcooked 2 is just so awesome. I mean, I think it's such a fun game because you have four people, and the only thing is that, I mean, Overcooked 2 is great because it has that online feature, and then it also has the couch co-op, so you could choose either way, you know, if you don't have enough people, you can call in some friends and play with you, which is something the first game didn't have, which was solely a couch co-op.
Yeah. I could see it causing more problems than a distraction at my house. It's the sort of game I can see people getting rather vocal with, especially as when the fires and that break out. But I do like Overcooked 2. And he also said that he would play Rock Band 4 while waiting for his Christmas dinner. A game I, again, never got into Rock Band because I don't have like an extra finger to do the fourth button or a trained spider to press it for me. So DJ Hero I enjoyed, mainly because that's three buttons.
Oh, okay.
But... slightly easier for my damn Shrek fingers to get a grasp of. Did you play any Rock Band at all, Kim?
I was a Guitar Hero person, so I never got Rock Band, but I had Guitar Hero, and it's actually a game that I, you know, every year or so I pull out my PS2 and start playing. So it's something I really, really like. I think Guitar Hero is such a great type of game. I mean, because Guitar Hero is only two people, so it doesn't really fit too much of a party type of game. Yeah. But I think, like, if you know, like for a couple, it would be really fun to do together. And the same goes for, you know, games like DDR and stuff like that. They're all, you know, essentially they used to be all party games before we had all these, like, multiplayer couch co-ops and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I like DDR. I just didn't like the plastic mat you got with it with the home version. So, I would love a DDR machine, but again, it's just not the sort of thing you could have if you like live in a block of flats or something.
Yeah. I mean, now I guess it's a lot easier when you talk about dancing games, because you can just have Just Dance and you can like wire that through your phone or something, right? So.
Yeah, Just Dance is works really well with your phone. Again, it's one of those games. It's hard. I thought like everyone would be really into playing Just Dance, but no, nobody was apart from me. So that was a fail last year. Okay, because it's obviously Christmas. We've got the family round. You've got younger siblings and cousins who need entertaining. But, you know, being the responsible gamer you are, what game are you going to corrupt him with, Kim?
I really don't know. This was a really tough choice for me. But I went with, like, I was really caught between either, like, something really dark. So it would be, like, either Until Dawn or Little Nightmares or, you know, something from the Dark Pictures anthology. Ooh, you know, choice. Man of Medan, Little Hope. House of Ashes, something like that. That is very entertaining because it's cinematic, but at the same time also kind of really, you know, kind of really dark. So it's kind of like telling them a ghost story type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I would be really interested to see what they did with the first choice on Until Dawn. It's like, how many of them decide to drop the sister? For myself, has to be Classic Doom. I think Classic Doom, give them God mode and all the weapons, and just put it on the hardest mode and just let them have at it. That's what it has to be. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, like give them like GTA or something like that, but I think with Classic Doom, there's just something about that game that just still is so timeless. It's still fun to go through, and the shotgun especially is just probably still one of the most satisfying like video game weapons of all time. Just the way it like cocks and the way it damage it does, and just going around dungeons shooting imps and other demons and stuff, let alone, you know, attacking them with a very unrealistic sounding chainsaw.
But I think it's really great because, you know, Doom is kind of those games which I feel as we go through more and more Dooms, you really have that feeling of like it's just like such intense type of first person shooter. Yeah. And there's all these monsters and you kind of walk into this and you don't really know what to expect, and it's such a, but then, you know, the world itself is kind of so brutal and so intense that It is very entertaining at the same time because it's so action-packed.
Yeah. There's something about the original Doom that's just, even though it's like an older game, it still plays really well. It's like the Monkey Island and like a lot of the LucasArts sort of games. The older titles, but they still play so well, and like the music's really great and just the sounds on it are great. And while I obviously could give them like something like Wolfenstein 3D and just let them have fun shooting Nazis, there's too much of a maze element there. With Doom, it was sort of like just really perfected the formula, and it was just sort of like you kind of had a very clear route of where you had to go, and there's just plenty of things to shoot and do. So, and while the newer games are now a little more frantic, should we say, when you compare it to like Call of Duty and like Gears of War, where it's sort of like a lot of hide behind cover and stuff. With Doom, it's sort of like, just keep moving, run and shoot all the time, and then beat things down and then beat them some more. But yeah, while I have fun with the new Doom, I think just the classic Doom is where it's at if you're going to be corrupting the siblings. So, and David Brooke, again, he said Duke Nukem 3D, but I'm guessing that's just because of the level with the strippers where you go up and press space bar to get them to flash you with very pornographic boobs. there's definitely, if you ask like the Xenials about Duke Nukem, they'll all tell you the same story about what they remember of that game. So, yep, a lot of people saying Doom, but no, I think Little Nightmares would be really fun to see kids have, because it's like a platformer, so it's kind of like Mario, but at the same time it's got a real sort of dark edge to it, doesn't it? So.
Yeah, that's why it's like, I think that, you know, when you talk about corrupted games, it still has to have that kind of this kind of, I guess, you know, like cuteness to it. Like it's still kind of light. It feels like you're playing a character that's very light, but at the same time the game itself is really dark, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of shocking moments. At least that's how I interpreted, you know, the corrupted game choice type of thing, right?
Definitely so. I mean, I just went up basically what I remember, like going to my uncle's house and him having like a 486, which is a very old PC. And just like I said, he just let us play on Doom. That was like us distracted for like 3 hours that we were there.
Yeah. I mean, us was at one point when we were really young and we first had like the first PC type of thing. I mean, me and my cousins would just sit there and we would play Prince of Persia, the original one, the pixelated one.
Yeah.
And that was still pretty interesting because you would still have that. You would still have that, the fighting and all that stuff. And back then, that was, like, groundbreaking, you know, when you're, I don't know, 8 or 10 or something like that.
The fighting certainly was an interesting aspect, where it's just like you swinging a sword at somebody.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like you had to, like, stab them at the right time and then advance. Yeah. And then you had all these spikes, and then when you don't jump properly, they just, like, jump in, and then it'd be like this. And then it would just see this pixelated blood. Yeah, and I mean, like, as you got older, I mean, we talked about this off air before, and, you know, eventually we actually, when we got older and my cousin got a PlayStation or something, then we ended up playing Resident Evil Biohazard. Well, the original game, the Japanese version was Biohazard, and he got the original version because his parents bought it from Asia. So it was a really fun time watching the whole thing go through, but having no idea what was going on because no one knew how to read Japanese. So it was
I remember those days, like when you got the original Parasite Eve, and it's sort of, which is basically like Resident Evil. It's just a lot of text, and it's sort of like you just mash things together, hoping for the best.
Basically. So, I mean, that was like, you know, those are like little memories. And I think like, right now, I would say that those are still really honorable choices. I mean, if I ever had the chance, I would definitely go back and play Prince of Persia, the original one. And maybe this time, now that I'm like 35, I'll be able to finish it.
I love the fact that if you use the cheat codes to skip levels, it just took like masses of time off, so you could never actually finish the game. It was sort of like you think, oh great, I can skip to level 4, and then it's like, nope, you've got about another 4 levels to do and about 10 minutes to do it all in. So, but yeah, that's cool. So now your family have all deserted you, they've all come and sponged off your hospitality, and it's just you left with your games collection to enjoy your food coma. So what game are you seeing the night in out with?
What I normally see my night with, actually. I usually, when I'm really stressed, I go and play Glass Masquerade 1 or 2.
Okay. And
that's like a game I feel no one plays, but I found it on a super cheap deal on Steam, and it's one of those games which is just like, it's like a intricate puzzle game, but you're just putting together these really beautiful themed stained glass pieces. And you, when you, you can do, like, easy. Easy is, like, very easy to complete. You can finish it in, you know, like, 15 minutes or something. 15, 20 minutes. But, like, the difficult ones, which is what I'm starting to do right now, is, like, you spend at least an hour on the thing. Because you have to, like, now you have to spin the pieces, like, how you would in a puzzle and see where to fit things in and stuff like that. So, I think that's, like, a really, something very mesmerizing to play. It's something I really like, and then they have some really, like, relaxing, soothing, enchanting type of background music. So, it's something that I really, really enjoy. I'm sure, like, no one's heard of it, but I really enjoy it. I mean, if I were to pick, like, a little bit more of a, I guess, a more popular choice, I would say Hidden Folks would be a really good one. I played that game, and I finished it before, but I have gone back to play it again. It's kind of like a funky Where's Waldo, but it's hand-drawn, black and white, and everything on the map, basically all the sounds and everything that's happening, the voices, when you press on different people and stuff, they all are created by someone's mouth. They're like making sounds using, like, all the sound effects are created by, you know, just mouth. It's not like effects or anything. So it's very funny because it's really, really quirky and really goofy, and some of them say really weird things, and yet because it's all black and white and the different scenes and whatnot, it's such a big map that when you're trying to find all the different pieces, sometimes they're hidden behind a tree or then they're under a rock or something, and then you have to really, like, dig it out. Like, you really need to, like, press everything and follow kind of, like, the clues that you have and see what you can find. So, that would be a little bit more of, like, I mean, to me, it's a bigger choice because the game is a lot more popular than Glass Masquerade, but it's still an indie game, you know.
Nice. For myself, I've got, I'm probably going to go with Crash 3, Warped.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Which is a little less brutal than the original game. It's and it's still a lot of fun. There's some really great, colorful levels in there. You have, like, the polar bear levels, and you got the Great Wall of China ones where you're on the tiger. Oh, yeah. A lot more vehicle sort of things. But yeah, there's something about Crash Warped, or Crash Bandicoot Warped, should I say? That just, again, I just really enjoy it. It's probably my favorite of the remastered trilogy.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyways,
because, yeah, like a lot of people, I had great ambitions of, oh, I'm going to play Crash 1, I'm going to work my way all through this trilogy, and then you realize just how sadistic Crash 1 is, and then just skip straight over to Warped.
Pretty much, that's what happened.
So, yeah, that's going to be my, I think that's going to be my laid-back sort of game of the evening. I would used to say, like, something like for my wife, she loves to play The Sims, and just ignore me. Just that's her Christmas evening, that's her happy place. And if I used to, like, just hang out in GTA 5 and just, like, because GTA 5 at Christmas is a magical place because they make it snow. So you can run around throwing snowballs, and when somebody upsets you, just shoot them.
Yeah, but, you know, talking about snow, one of my other choices was Steep. I thought Steep would have been a really great choice, too. Oh,
that'd be really good.
Yeah, like, as a chill-out game, I think that's a really fun one. I think that, you know, as much as Ubisoft has really made other games using this type of formula, you know, recently with Riders Republic, which, you know, I had a chance to try out the beta, and I still think that Steep is more exciting to play, because it really focuses on just snow sports. And I mean, while, you know, my Christmas most of the time is white, it's, and we do have snow, but I still think that there's so much to love about Steep. You know, you have those, like, I remembered playing it a long time ago, and then there was, like, those, like, really, like, dark nights, and then there was, like, a whole story to the whole thing. It was really, really nice, and there's so many, like, different things to explore, much like, you know, I would say, a really close contender would also be something like Forza Horizon 4 or something, where you're just driving around the countryside and stuff, and that's really relaxing also.
Oh, definitely, yeah. With those sort of games where, and even like things like Burnout Paradise, which have like the racing elements, but also have the free roam elements in there as well. And I think that's why I always liked the Rising games more than just the Forza Racing games. Just having that freedom just to go and explore the countryside, or Scotland, as was the case of the last one. So that was
Forza 5 is out now. So
okay. The last one we played was it Forza 4, which was a lot of fun.
Agree.
Although I like your idea of the fact that, you know, while you obviously living up in the Great White North, you could quite easily go and find yourself like a mountain and do some skiing, but instead that you've opted that the only code you wish to fill is when you go to the fridge for another beer. So definitely with you on that one, Kim.
Yeah.
Let's face it, in snowboarding, there's only two movements, is it? You're like upright looking cool, or the other is dead.
Well, I mean, you also have the factor that right now we're back and we're still in the pandemic thing. So it's not exactly like everything's open. And, you know, I mean, if you live in Montreal, basically, you know that a lot of things are starting to shut down as we are recording right now. We're waiting for the next announcement to come out. So to see what other things they can shut down.
Indeed. And finally, because it's good for us to give back, not that we've obviously not given back enough already, you know, entertaining all these people coming around, messing things up and rearranging your cushions. But if you were going to give a game to someone to get them into gaming, what game would that be, Kim?
Hmm.
Can we circle around here?
Yes. Because I didn't have that on my list, so...
Oh, sorry. For myself, I'm going to say Sonic 2. Which is easy to get hold of. I mean, obviously, we got the Mega Drive collection. You can get it on, and it's available on a number of other ports. But while a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I'm going to like introduce them to like Super Mario and that, there is something about Sonic 2 in particular. Those classic four or five first original Sonic games, when it... And even like the first entry, Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast, there's just something very playable about them still. And Sonic 2 is just hands and above the rest. I think it's... I constantly go back and forth between Sonic 2 and Sonic 3, which is my favourite. But I think if I was to get someone into gaming, I think there's no real better game than to get them into than Sonic 2. Mainly because it's just... Again, it's easy to pick up and play. It's really colourful. There's a huge variety of great, interesting levels. And the music's really fantastic as well. Plus, you have the option of playing as Tails for the first time. As you could either play as Sonic and Tails. And if you were like really mean-spirited, you could give the second controller to your friend to control Tails. But they could only really do anything if Tails was on the screen. So they could think they were helping. or you could obviously just play as the characters individually, but no, Sonic 2 is going to be my game that will get you into gaming. Either that or Rabin Rabbits, because you get to use the balance board with your bum, and that's just funny.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it would be, you know, I mean, I didn't pick the game for it, I mentioned it before, but I mean, I always love to recommend Little Nightmares. I think it's such a great game. I mean, it's one of my top favorites, so... That's one game that I really, really would ask people to get in, because it's not really complicated to play, but it still has that type of gaming excitement, and it still has that that platforming type of element to it, and it's not too narrative, and it's not too, you know, too complicated to play, because, I mean, if we were going to say, you know, something really, really fun to play or something very lighthearted, I'd say, you know, Guacamelee is a really great one, but... They have some really tough boss battles in that one. So I guess if it was someone new to gaming, that's probably not such a great choice.
Yeah. That's a good, definitely a good one. And then when they beat that, they can go in and play like Limbo.
Limbo, Inside, you know, go into that sort of world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You go, oh, you like that Little Nightmares game. How about this Inside game? You also play another small child on the run. And at the end, you turn into a giant blob.
Yeah, or you know, like, if you were going for something very simple and very, you know, cute to play, it would be something like, I mean, Super Lucky Game at the Super Lucky? Is that Super Lucky?
Oh, Super Lucky
Tale.
Yeah,
Super Lucky Tale is also a really great choice, I think. Like, I had a really great time playing that game. I thought it had that kind of childhood quirk, very colorful, and it wasn't really unforgiving. There was a lot of different things that you could play with, and but I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe some adults get, if you were an adult getting into gaming, maybe that game might feel a bit childish.
For myself, it brought back such memories of, again, just those classic games that I came up with, on, like, on the Genesis in particular. And yeah, it's, I mean, it's obviously got the 3D sort of plane to it, so it's a little more advanced than those old 2D scrollers, but it's still very playable. I think sometimes it, like, it's nice to play something a little simple, rather than, I mean, not every game has to be Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people do get into, you know, people do like to play really challenging games, and I mean, I'm not, like, I love watching people playing Dark Souls, and, like, the whole struggle is really fun to watch. But playing it, it's a, not as a whole different story, I think. At least for me. I mean, I can't even manage the camera in, like, It Takes Two. So, forget about it. Like...
Nice. So there you have it. There is our guide to surviving the holiday season with gaming. We enjoyed listening as always, and if you haven't done already, please do hit the like and subscribe button wherever you happen to be listening to us, and maybe leave us a review, as it all helps raise the profile of the show. You can check out our blog, which is gamewarpblog.wordpress.com.
Yep.
Well, got it right first time. We're also on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram as well, so come say hi to us there as well. But until next time, thank you very much for listening. Happy holidays. And thank you again, as always, to my co-host, Kim. And we will be back again in the new year with more gaming goodness. But until then, have yourself a happy Christmas and a very merry new year. But until then, good night.